The American dream is a flexible thing. When it came into full bloom as a trope in the 1950s, black folks were out of sight and out of mind, never mind that we were busy inventing the blues and rock and roll. There was also stuff called redlining, where black neighborhoods were denied services like banking and certainly equal housing. It was a vision of two Americas that emboldened the civil rights movement. In other words, the American dream was for some, but not for all. Well, what about today? To help us get some perspective, we have Ta-Nehisi Coates, a contributing editor and blogger for The Atlantic and author of the book The Beautiful Struggle, A Father, Two Sons, and An Unlikely Road to Manhood.
A fantastic book, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Much appreciated.
We are so happy to have you here.
Before, I'm glad to be here.
Before we get to the big question, what's your American dream?
Wow. What's my American dream?
Mm-hmm.
That my son will go to school and not embarrass me on a daily basis. I wake up in the morning thinking about that.
I think people in China, India, Africa all have that dream, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just pray that the boy doesn't embarrass me.
A father's dream.
Yes, exactly.
And you know what? That was my dad's dream also. So, you know, we have a sort of generational thing. In all seriousness, it's actually, I think, not that different than with the stereotypical American dream is, and that is that the belief that, or the hope that all people, you know, no matter what their circumstances, will have a right to compete in the field that they're choosing.
What do you think the situation, a way to talk about the situation that black folks have faced vis-a-vis the American dream is to talk about your father, who you paint a vivid portrait of in your memoir. How do you think your father related to the concept of the American dream? Someone who went on to become a pioneering publisher of black knowledge that nobody else was keeping track of.
Initially, I noticed to be true, much like anybody else related to the American dream, my dad went into the Vietnam War, went into the Army. Like so many people before him went into the Army, he wanted to be John Wayne. I mean, it is a black kid who grew up in West Philadelphia in the 1940s and 50s, but had the same visions of America and dreams of America that anybody else, you know, black, white, whatever, would have. Became very radicalized in the Army and by the Vietnam War to some extent, and then later coming out and into the 60s and the things that were going on and you know, we all know what that was.
So he was kind of like the Lawrence Fishburne character in Apocalypse Now.
Or more like the Lawrence Fishburne character in Boys in the Hood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Much more like that. Yeah. For the good and for the bad. That's just me thinking about him as a father. But yeah, very much I think radicalized by the Vietnam War and by the 60s, and came out, I think, like a lot of black folks, even today, very skeptical with a sort of a jaundiced eye of the American dream. It's interesting, if I just may add this. I keep thinking about Michelle Obama and that pride remark that she took so much flack for.
That she finally felt proud of America.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing.
Right, right. And in many ways of looking at that.
For the first time.
Right. And in many ways of looking at that, and I don't offer this so much as an interpretation of what she meant, but as just a commentary on African Americans and patriotism, because that's always an issue. People just have to remember the history of what African Americans have been through. The most poignant thing that I think about is the veterans who went to war during World War I in segregated armies for a segregated country, came home to the South and were often, or I shouldn't say often, at times lynched in their uniforms. When you have those sorts of experiences, you will probably have a different perspective on what the American dream is and means.
But some of the statistics that are out there now about the American dream and a sense of optimism, that despite that history, mm-hmm. African Americans report having a much greater sense of optimism here in this Obama era than most of the rest of the economy faced with all of this downturn, that there's a kind of a dual perspective of skepticism, but also a sense of the future is before us.
Right. And you know, it's probably at a high point now with Obama's election, but that's always been true. I mean, the one thing you say about Martin Luther King, even going back to Frederick Douglass, there was always this option of leaving America and going, you know, to Africa. African Americans always believed in the Declaration of Independence, in the Constitution, maybe more than the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence believed in them. Martin Luther King had great faith in this country and in what it could be. There was never any doubt about where the best place was for African Americans. There was never really any doubt that there were opportunities here to compete. Even, and this shocks a guy like me, but that's always been true for African Americans, going back to Booker T. Washington.
Well, Ta-Nehisi, at this point, and some of these tensions come up in your memoir, you have black people who live almost exclusively around non-black people, black people who live in mixed communities and workplaces, black people who live almost exclusively with black people. Where does the best future for black Americans lie in following a path that allows us to sort of circle the wagons when times are tough in the black community and try to remain a very cohesive group, or to try to reach out and you know, disseminate our wisdom to other parts? I mean, is that part of the question that the black community is facing right now?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I do know this, and that is that the case for separatism was never particularly strong in the black community. I mean, we have our nationalist impulses like anybody else, but we made a choice to decide to become a part of America. That's where the future is. I don't know how long that process is going to take,
right. But
I think that's where it's going.
And the struggle itself is etching the American dream on this sort of stone edifice of history in some sense. The struggles that you talk about, even the exclusion, is a more persuasive statement of the American dream than a lot of the stuff we've heard this week.
Well, yeah. No. And certainly so. And I just think retaining that spirit of optimism through all of that. And that's one of the unreported things about African Americans.
If you gave me one sentence on how you think you are doing at achieving your American dream, be it having your son not embarrass you, how well are you doing?
Depends on the day.
Depends on the day. That's
well,
a good answer.
Are you thinking of a question out there, folks? This is our video segment. Come to our website. I have one more question for Ta-Nehisi Coates, but I'm not going to ask it now.
Yeah, we don't have time. Ta-Nehisi Coates is a contributing editor and blogger for The Atlantic, taking it day by day, author of The Beautiful Struggle, A Father, Two Sons, and An Unlikely Road to Manhood.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.